magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, June 29th, 2018. The Prime Lifetimes papers, the July edition, will arrive in the next couple of hours, so we'll start distributing them throughout the area. First off, we'll be here at Lincoln Square, so we'll have them at the five different newspaper stands here in the mall, or in the food court area, or right in front of
our... Is this the first place, like, when it hits? This is the epicenter, so, like, if you wanted... Like
hot off the press?
Yeah, like singe your fingers when you pick it up. This is the
place.
They're
still even damp. The ink is just drying. Yeah, we usually get them through the back door. We bring the first edition in here, or the first bundle. We open it up. We look at it. We're like, and then we start flipping through the pages.
Do you guys really go,
Yeah, and then I put it on the wall. We go like, yeah, we look at it. How's the fold? How's the coloring? Is the separation right? The pages all line up. And then I put it in the wall, and then I start putting it on a cart, and I start taking them to the five stands here in the mall. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So you like the, you do the paperboy thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh, my car always has at least one of the stands, if I find a new place to drop them off, and at least two or three bundles of 80. We have them bundled up by 80, 40 one way, 40 the other.
And you should roll them and throw them at doorways. That reminds me of my childhood. Oh. I would come home from school and stuff the papers, and then I'd have to roll them up, put them in the plastic bag, and then ride down the street. Whew, yeah. You know,
did you ever do it where it's a Sunday morning edition where drove in the back of like a pickup or...
No, I didn't, but Sunday morning... Sunday and Wednesday. Well, with the paper out I had, Wednesday was like the midweek ads, and Sunday was the ads. And they were horrible because they came in two stacks, and you had to take the ads and put them in the
paper. Yep,
you had to stuff the papers. But Sunday and Wednesday were the worst because I had to go out twice. Like, I had to go out and get half my route and then go back home and fill my bag back up. It was like the real deal. Like, they gave me the bag, like this big satchel that, let's just be honest with you, I don't think they deliver papers that way anymore. A kid on a bike with a big bag full of papers was not safe. You know how many times I crashed my bike?
Yeah.
And we lived in the age when nobody wore helmets. Like, every time I crashed my bike, I remember one time this paper saved my life because I flipped the bag up and I landed on the bag of papers instead of my head.
Yeah, soften the blow. Yep, nope, we just stack them in the racks and... they're off to the races.
Wow.
We'll be delivering those over the next few days. So, let's see, realizing today, some on Saturday. I don't know if Jason Gingle will deliver them on Sunday, but by Monday or Tuesday of next week, they'll be in all the area, almost 200 locations. We'll see how we'll get them down to the Arthur area, maybe today or tomorrow, but... yeah, excited. This is the biggest edition we've had in the 8 months we've been overseeing the paper. 32 pages, section A and B, and a lot of neat stories. And we're featuring the 4th of July and Independence. And Marianne has contacted a number of the content contributors. So we've coordinated everything with that freedom theme, even some of the cartoons and the trivia and the crossword puzzle. It's all integrated. So it's a really good, we think it's the best edition we've produced so far. And so put a lot of hours in.
We'll be the judge of that, buddy.
So if I say so myself, we think it's pretty good. But.
Right now there are millions of people are going, best edition ever.
We'll have the family look at it. Get back to you. All right, reading from chapter 8 of Exodus, starting at verse 30. Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go.
That Pharaoh, he just doesn't listen.
He doesn't get it. He just doesn't listen.
Well, he does listen, but he only listens to his own heart. Isn't that amazing that God offers the grace that he promises? Like, when God promises something, when God offers something, he doesn't offer it as kind of like, it's not a shell game. You know, it's not like, okay, do you see the ball? Where is it? Oops, sorry.
Gotcha.
When God offers something, when God promises something, he follows through on his promises, even if you are the most despicable, untrustworthy, wicked person, immoral person on the earth at the time. And by the way, God, who is omniscient and omnipresent and all-knowing, he knew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. He knew that this was going to happen. And yet God keeps his promises, even in light of noise. Just think about that. Just let that settle for a moment. if you knew the outcomes of everything that was going to happen in your life, how many things would you have nothing to do with or would handle them entirely differently than you do handle them because you know it's not going to go the way it should go or the way you think it ought to go? God's primary message as he sent Moses continually to Pharaoh is, let my people go that they may worship me. They are my people. They are my possession. They need to come out and worship me. That is what their hearts desire. That is what their hearts need. And that's really important. In fact, we prayed about that. We, out of our program from Wednesday and into today, we prayed about that before today's program because I'm really convicted that if we don't live in a place of truth, if we don't live in a place of clarity, if we don't live in a place where we unburden ourselves of all the kind of darkness in our heart, all the kinds of things that we're keeping in our heart that we don't want anybody to see, that it's going to keep us from worshiping. I mean, if you have a conversation that you need to have, or you have a thing that you need to take care of, or you have a thing that you need to get out in the open, it's kind of like a rock in your shoe. I mean, you can walk around and pretend like the rock isn't in your shoe. You can shift your foot around so it doesn't hurt quite as much and it's not quite as irritating. But at the end of the day, you always still have a rock in your shoe and it's ever present in the back of your mind. And it kind of hinders you from doing some of the things you ought to do, or at least frustrates you in the midst of them. Mm-hmm. I think for God's people, when we don't live in the light of his truth honestly, it causes us to not be able to worship. Pharaoh is the rock in the shoe. Pharaoh is causing God's people not to be able to worship. Why? Because he's burdening them, because he's loading them up with unfair expectations, because he's lording over them, and he is not their Lord. Their Lord is Yahweh. And so the primary message is, let my people go that they should worship me. Again, we talked about this last week, a number of weeks in a row. This is the language of deliverance and salvation. And so Moses is coming as God's mouthpiece to announce the saving grace, the deliverance, the freedom, the proclamation of freedom to God's people. Mm-hmm. And we remember the flies came and it was heavy. It was bad. And Pharaoh goes, fine, you can do some worshiping. And so Moses goes to God, and God keeps his promise, even though God knows how this is going to work out. And the flies were removed from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. Not one remained. Not one remained. That means that God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is the Lord over all the flies, every single one of them. He accounts for every... There's not a fly buzzing around somewhere, and the Lord's like, oh, I forgot about him. He knows them all and controls them all, and not one remained. And so what happened? Did Pharaoh rejoice that the flies were gone? No, he hardened his heart. See, no matter how much good comes Pharaoh's way, and by the way, Pharaoh sees God as a problem. Pharaoh sees Moses as a problem. But what Pharaoh doesn't understand is the best thing ever has come his way. And that is the message of salvation through God. The message of God's grace. God's messenger has come to deliver this message. And what does Pharaoh do when he hears this message? What does Pharaoh do when he stands in light of all this? He hardens his heart. Now, the Bible will actually say in certain parts, and people really struggle with this, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And people will say, well, what does that mean? I mean, does God hardens hearts? God makes people not want to worship God? No. God simply allows us to do what our hearts already want to do. God gives us over to our desires and our passions because God says, if that's what you really want, then I'll let you experience it to the fullest. I'll let you have what it is you think you want.
Yeah, because some people would argue, well, it's not Pharaoh's fault that he was rejecting God because God already hardened him, and who could resist the will of God? Or they make that into an argument, but like you're saying.
Well, their argument presupposes that there isn't free will, and God has given us free will so that we can freely love him, freely worship him, that we would do so with a sense of, as we've already talked about, a sense of honesty and integrity and clarity. Like, we would worship God because we want to worship God. We desire to. It's a purity of worship. Rather than simply, God could make us. He's all-powerful. He's sovereign. He could make us all like robots who arrive at the temple at 8 and back at noon and back at 6 and, we love you, Lord, no sin. You know, I mean, he could make us do that if he wanted to. But he desires that the worship would be a pure kind of love, because that's the love in which he loves us, a pure kind of love. Yeah. And so Pharaoh hardens his heart, and he did not let the people go. So really, the last little bit of chapter 8 tells us this really kind of core truth. God keeps his promises, and Pharaoh doesn't. Pharaoh doesn't keep. Pharaoh, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Your kids would right now touch it. burned.
You burned
him,
Dad.
Burned.
You burned him.
Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, now listen to this. This is, you know, like what later on in the Bible, I believe it's in Peter, when it says that God is patient, not how we count patience, but that he desires that all should come to repentance. This is the patience of God. We're on the fifth plague. How many times have you walked into your kid's room on the fifth time and still gently said, I need you to do this thing for me? Son? No. By the third time, your voice is raised. You're like a crazy maniac going down the hall. I told you to clean that room. And then they're going, oh, this argument is actually the one where it's really helpful for me. I now will clean my room, Father. You have brought obedience out of my heart. No, if they clean their room at that point, it's because they're fearful of you. This is amazing to me because this is God's grace. And then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord. By the way, every time Moses shows up now, it means the fifth plague. You got to think Pharaoh's going, thus says the Lord. I know, you say it every time. Well, I know, Pharaoh, I have to say it every time because you think that you're king of all kings and you think that it's everything is thus says Pharaoh. And I need to remind you, thus says the Lord. I love this because the beginning of what Moses continually says to Pharaoh is kind of Moses getting out of the way. It's kind of Moses saying, it's not me who's bringing you this message. I want you to know that. Because it's really easy for me to look at, say, Mark, you go and you share the gospel with somebody. It's very easy and almost always kind of happens where they look at you and they go, well, this is Mark telling me this stuff. But this message is not from Mark. This message transcends Mark. Mark doesn't have the power to save. Mark is simply the instrument in which this message comes. He's the vehicle, the ambassador. But he comes representing a king who has a message that is bigger and greater than Mark can even understand or handle. And so here, that's the same thing. I love that when he says, thus says the Lord, he's saying, this is not my message. This is his message. I want you to understand it. And he even comes behind it in this verse to say, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. So he's saying, those people whom you have enslaved, he is their God. And then again, the same thing. Let my people go that they may serve me. I mean, you can almost like the first verse is like on repeat. You know, it's like a skipping record.
Now, your version said that they may serve me. Mine says worship me. And maybe for somebody that's missed past Friday programs, make the distinction of what...
Well, there is no distinction because in order to serve God, you have to worship him because your service to God is worship. And your worship to God is your service to him. There is a verse in the Bible, and I can't remember where it's at exactly, where it says it puts worship and service in the same sentence, in the same verse, and they actually mean the same thing. It's a double entendre. It's kind of saying the same thing twice for emphatic effect. And so worship and service are the same thing. If you love God and you serve God, your service is worship to God and your worship is service to him. Mm-hmm. And so he says, verse 2, for if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, aha. Now that shouldn't be an aha because he's at the fifth plague. He's had four things happen to him already that says, you don't do what I say and bad things happen. This isn't bad things happen to good people, by the way. This is bad things happen to bad people who are hard-hearted.
That's maybe a future book that you can write.
Yeah, yeah. Bad things happen to bad people.
So deal with it.
Which people might argue with, because people might say, yeah, well, but why does it seem like bad people seem to get away with everything?
Yeah.
It's a fallen world. Behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague. Now listen to this. The language here is actually quite scary. You know, again, in English, we can kind of lose some of the nuances here. But in Hebrew, this is behold, aha. If you refuse to let them go and you hold on to them, holding on to them is saying, they're mine. I have them. They're mine. You can't have them. Behold, the hand of the Lord, the heaviness of the Lord. And by the way, what did Pharaoh already experience in the flies? The heaviness of the Lord's power. That is a heavy thing of flies came upon them. If you refuse to let them go, you say, they're mine. Behold, the heaviness of the Lord, the hand of the Lord will fall upon you with a very severe plague. This is kind of can be translated as the worst thing you can think of. So he says, upon your livestock that are in the field, your horses, your donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. Now let's just break that down really quick. For many of us, we go, oh no, the farm closed, no more petting zoo. That's not what this verse is saying. This is not simply saying, oh no, these animals are going to die. These animals were the backbone of Egypt. Just think about the livestock. What did you do with livestock? You ate them. This is your main source of meat. This is the main source of meat. Horses. By the way, it says a livestock that are in the field, which means the livestock also helped to cultivate the fields. They would pull the plows and do all kinds of different things. The horses. What were Egyptians known for? Their chariots. What were their chariots pulled by? Horses. What was one of the mighty military tools of the Egyptian army? Their horses. You know, later on when King Solomon, what is King Solomon known for? All of his horses. Horses were like might. Horses were like the things you would ride into in war. Horses elevated you above others when you would ride up upon them. Horses exuded strength. Bible says in certain places, I believe it's in the Psalms or in the Prophet, you know, the frightening snort of the horse. The donkeys, what were the donkeys? They were the working animals. They were the animals that hauled and moved and lugged things around. You don't usually eat a donkey. It doesn't taste very good. But donkeys did the work.
I don't know, but Larry Bunning's probably...
No, Larry's the next one. Larry's the next one, a camel. So what were the camels? The camels were the cars of Egypt. The camels were the...
Transportation.
The taxis, the things that everybody rode around on. And the herds. Now, the last part, herds and flocks, that just says... That makes a distinction that it's all of them. It's a lot of them. It's not just some of them. It's not just like a donkey, a horse, a camel, or a livestock. It is the flocks and the herds. And so right now, I mean, we these are not just animals. These are the backbone of this civilization.
Yes, the whole economy wrapped up.
It really is. It really is. But the Lord will make the distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh isn't fuzzy on what this looks like because there was already a distinction made in chapter 8 between Goshen and the rest of Israel. There was already a place that was set apart. So Pharaoh understands what it means that his people will be suffering, and then there will be a place where there will still be the camels and the donkeys, there will still be the livestock, there will still be the herds, there will still be the flocks. And listen, if everybody's hungry, it's not the same as if you're hungry and you're sitting next to somebody eating a big, huge sandwich. If you're sitting next to somebody and you're starving and they're eating and you're looking at them, it is horrible. It is hard to endure. If you and that other person are hungry, you're like, wow, we're really hungry. I'm really hungry. Oh my gosh, I'm just kind of hungry. Yeah, me too. But there's something different when we're watching somebody being satiated by the thing that we're enduring, by the thing that we're going through. That's what's happening to Pharaoh's people here. Pharaoh's people are going to be on the outside looking in at what the prosperity is of the people who follow Yahweh. And just think about this for a moment, too. The Egyptians would say, well, we're the people. You know, we've got Pithom and Ramses, and we have Pharaoh, and we have horses, and we have chariots, and we have this, and we built the pyramids, and we did all this. And you guys are just slaves. And yet in this moment, the scales are going to be tipped, and the people who think that they have everything will have nothing, and the people who have nothing will have everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so in this moment, actually, the economy of God shows how much more powerful it is than the economy of man. Mm. And you have to think, just think for a moment too, there has to be some Egyptians that are like, you know what? This Yahweh thing, it sounds like it might be valid. This is the second time we had the flies, and there was a place where there was no flies, and those were Yahweh's people. Now we have this time, no livestock, no horses, no donkeys, no nothing, but they've got them. This Yahweh thing, I'm thinking Pharaoh's not as good as he says he is, not as strong as he says he is. And it says, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. Why? Because God came to give them life, and in Jesus we find life everlasting. And the Lord set a time. The Lord actually said, look it, I'm not going to do this right now. I'm going to set a time because I think you really need to think about this. This is grace, by the way. What Pharaoh deserves is immediate, undiluted wrath. And instead, God goes, you know, I'm going to set a time. You got to watch. Let's set a time tomorrow. I'm going to do this thing. So you got between now and tomorrow to think about this thing. And the next day the Lord did this thing. It says, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. Because the Lord keeps his promises. That's what we ended chapter 8 with, right? The Lord keeps his promises, Pharaoh doesn't. Here, the Lord keeps his promises, even when he talks about judgment. Now, some might say, well, gosh, he just keeps doling out these plagues. This is not grace. I mean, God is love. You know what? The most loving thing he did was giving him a period of time to repent and to change his heart. But he didn't. And verse 6, and the next day the Lord did this thing, and all the livestock of the Egyptians died, and not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead.
Pharaoh sent men?
Yeah. And so Pharaoh's like, I don't believe it. Oh, my gosh. It's true. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Listen, this is a wicked man. This is a wicked man who looks upon the goodness of God and doesn't say, you know what, I want that. Instead, he sits on the fringe and goes, I don't care about that. You know why? Because Pharaoh is not living in a place of truth and a place of honesty. He's living in a place of self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. He's living in a place where he thinks the most important thing in the world is himself. He doesn't even, as a ruler of these people, he doesn't even look upon his people and think what is best for them. He simply looks at what is best for himself. And in the process of that, friends, if you continue to just look to yourself and do what's best for you, you will inevitably harden your heart. Listen, it is possible that you can walk around with a rock in your shoe and at some point it becomes a boulder. And at some point you don't have any excuse. You can't go, well, I didn't know there was a boulder in my shoe. You have no excuse. But if you act like you do, you're in Pharaoh territory. You are in Pharaoh territory. And so my exhortation to you today would be simply this. Live in a place of honesty. If there's anything that you need to unload, if there's anything that you need to get out or to get over, lay it before the Lord in His Spirit. Take it to the people in whom needs to go, because what is at stake is your worship. Let those things go that you might worship the Lord with, as the Bible says, your whole heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. Because in every place where you don't do that, the rock in your shoe continues to get bigger and bigger. Your heart is hardened in a way that you might not even understand because it is so subtle. And you not only will not let yourself go to experience the grace of God, but you will subtly not let the people around you experience the grace of God. And so, friends, there is freedom in Christ. Galatians says, for freedom's sake, you have been set free. Do not fall back into slavery.
Yeah, yield your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ this very day. If you'd like to talk to somebody about having that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you maybe need some questions answered about the Bible. How do you pray to this loving God? You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. There's great folks that'll talk to you about having a relationship with God. We highly recommend it. Don't harden your heart today. Be open to spiritual things and receive that free gift that God extends to you because He loves you. He cares about you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.